Blog Talk Radio.
Show here on CTR, where we weave together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, politics, and personal growth. Welcome to April. Hey, we made it. Feels almost like spring. And if you're listening live on Friday and you want in, 347-857-4505 is your ticket to the show. We'll get your calls on cultural commentary and creative inspiration a bit later. But first, you know, everyone has a story, and boy, do we have a story, and then some to tell you today as we welcome our guests, the brains behind the Poppy Cove mystery series. The first one is Strangled by Silk. These are two gals from Canada who channel a fabulous 50s social butterfly. They don't just write under the pen name of Barbara Jean Coast, but they sort of created this persona for her, so we'll talk about that. And the first book, Strangled by Silk, available from Cozy Cat Press as an ebook and paperback. So we'd love to welcome Andrea Taylor and Heather Scudderoff, am I right? Heather? Close. You told it to me and I blew it. I'm telling you.
Thanks, no problem. I've lived my whole life this way. We're good.
Yeah, well, we're bonding because I have one of those last names too. So, Andrea and Heather, you guys are from Canada, and you write this cozy mystery series that is based in 1957-ish in Santa Lucia, California, which is a fictional version of Santa Barbara. How did this all come about?
I guess, do you want me to take this one, Andrea?
Sure.
Okay. You take this one. I ended up spending a lot of time down in Southern California and just touring around the area and just really fell in love with the time and the place, and it just seemed like a good setting for the story, just the whole idyllic and time period, and it just seemed like a place that would work.
It's so fabulous. It's fascinating to do a period cozy series. You don't really see that too often. I was actually thinking of doing one like in the Madman era, but you guys have set it back into the fabulous 50s. What about the 50s? That seems to be kind of a repressive age, but I guess there's a lot of romanticism as well to it.
Well, there was a lot of, after the war, there was a lot of money. People were excited. It's kind of that post-war era of everything was lovely. They were building suburbs. Everything was fabulous. They were, you know, they had money to buy everything, and it was all good.
It was all just bright and shiny. We're the heroes, and we're invincible at that point, and everything was just so fast and so sleek and modern, and it felt very carefree. At least it looks like that from our point of view at this stage when we look back. You know, obviously people had issues and problems and hidden secrets and that kind of thing, and it's sort of when we decided to set it in that time period, it's just before things start to turn, where everything just looked so idyllic, and when you start digging under the surface, you start finding out, well, maybe things aren't quite so perfect.
Right, absolutely. So how did Barbara Jean come about? Because I know Barbara Jean, it just occurred to me the other day that Al Gore has nothing on this lady, because he may have invented the internet, but Barbara Jean, even though she thinks it's 1957, 58, she's the queen of social media. She's got a Twitter page, she's got a blog, a Facebook page. So how did you come up with her?
We were talking about the two of us writing together, and we wanted to come up with a pen name instead of having our full name on the page, and we were just milling about ideas. We thought, okay, the region was Santa Barbara, so let's work a Barbara in there. The 50s had a lot of that double naming, and then we thought, well, the area, so we went Barbara Ann, Barbara May, and then came Barbara Jean, and then we thought Coast, and then actually speaking of modern times, we Googled Barbara Jean Coast, and there was no Barbara Jean Coast. We went, perfect. And then she sort of took on her own persona. You know, she just has this fun-loving look at life, and we wrote in one of our blogs on WordPress, on the Welcome to Poppy Cove .wordpress.com, we talked about what she does for us and how when we get stressed out or we look at too many things too closely, we think, well, what would Barbara Jean do? And she would just put on a warm smile, pair of kitten heels, and pour herself a drink and have a good laugh. And so, you know, she doesn't have a lot of cares in the world, so she sort of becomes this one that we get too stressed out, we just look at each other and go, "Well, Barbara Jean," and
"Well, Barbara."
Well, yeah. What would she do? That could be a whole other book there. What would Barbara Jean do?
yeah. We're actually thinking about that. You know, with our website having an advice column. You know,
yeah.
How there's all these different advice columns. We thought, well, how about what would Barbara Jean do? Advice column.
Yeah. Well, she does have some pithy things. I mean, some of her. What are some of your favorites with hers? I was looking at them the other day. She is.
Well,
I like
well,
the one she's.
Go ahead.
No, this I like the one. She's always approach the handsomest, richest man in the party with a warm smile and an empty glass. I mean, that just says it all, right?
Yeah. Andrea, what's yours? What's your favorite?
I like the one about the Melmac.
Oh, the Melmac for the klutzes in your life?
Yes.
Suntan lotion, that's what pool boys are for. That's another favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the collaboration and how you guys decided to work together, and how does it work exactly? How do you do it? Do you sit down each day and work together?
Pretty much, yeah. We talk a lot.
Oh, yes, and we laugh a lot, too. And there's a few cocktails in there.
Does Barbara Jean come out more with the cocktails?
Yeah, she makes a lot of typos and a lot of grammatical errors. We have to rein her in sometimes. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We seem to bounce ideas back and forth on each other. Someone will come up with a concept, and the other will sort of run with it, and. We talk a lot of it out, and when we are when we're reading back what we wrote, it's really nice to read the dialogue that way, because you actually hear how the dialogue would flow, as opposed to when you're just on your own and you can't quite hear it. And sometimes when you're writing something and you think, well, the phrasing on that's not quite right, when you hear it out, the other person will say, no, it should go this way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I write other types of fiction and other things. So, and I do that solo. So it's been really for me to actually work with someone, because reading out loud to yourself isn't quite the same.
Sure, right. Yeah, the input. But how, were you guys friends? How did you decide to work together? How did that come about?
Yeah, we've known each other since we were 6 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So there's a lifetime bond there. That's cool.
Yeah, we're pretty much in each other's families. So, we've been through the wars together. So, yeah, I know we've known each other a long time. And I guess it started probably about 8 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
And I said to Andrea that I had an idea for a cozy mystery series, and I said that I had a store about 12 years ago that I had done custom dressmaking and design, and I sort of came at it from that angle, that I said I have this idea for this store, and I liked the idea of setting it during a time when dressmaking was really thought of as an art. It was quite common, but yet people did a lot of things by hand. There wasn't a lot of that high technology, and I said that it would be kind of neat to make it the social hub. And then Andrea sort of came along, and I think even before the first day was up, she had more of the idea of the characters and the first basic plot line.
Yeah.
So it really was a collaboration right from the beginning, and we just sort of sat down and went, okay, I think we might have something here. And then we started playing with different plot lines and different characters and different elements of the town, and it just seemed to layer.
Yeah, it's kind of built. And you have at the hub of it, of course, are your two gals, Daphne and Margot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
From
the design shop.
Yeah. And Margot's more the contemplative one, and the one who is a little more deep in thought. She's sort of a newbie. She's got a. In time, people will find out she's got a bit of a past. And Daphne is more just this basic, fun-loving California blonde and wide-eyed and in love with the world. And it's going to be a little bit more about, as the series progresses, more about her future.
Yeah.
Daphne's future. And Margot's past.
Maybe. Yeah, there's something there.
Always good to have those little past things pop up, you know.
Oh, you get that.
Oh, absolutely. They make for a very good mystery. The past.
And you have that great setting. I mean, there is that stylish, you have that party scene down really well, and, of course, the first one opens up. We don't want to give away too much, but one of the grand dames of the town.
Yes.
you don't really get to know her too well because she doesn't make it too far into the book.
Yeah, she's the cover image that we have. That's basically Constance right on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she is immortalized, at least. She has something going for her.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. That's why we chose that cover. We thought, that's Constance before everything went terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah. So what are your influences? Have you read, were you always readers of mysteries over the years?
Oh, it started with the Bobbsey twins, Nancy Drew. I was always wanting to, be a super sleuth. And this is a very safe way to be one.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the whole, for myself too, that I really like the whole cozy mystery genre. I liked how they developed these little worlds and these characters that maybe aren't necessarily people you do know, but you care about them enough that you'd want to know them. And cozies always seem to have a really nice bucolic world set up. They're either entrepreneurs or they're family women, or there's something about them that their world is just so kind of neat. It's almost like playing house with them, that you wish that their stores existed, or you wish that their other things that they do, they were real and you could just walk into this world. So being series that you get to know certain people and there's core elements and they have a really nice flow with character, and it's just a really fun place to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's character driven, right? Because that's what I love about it—the idea that you get to know the characters and the side stories and the side mysteries and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you do a lot of that type of thing. I've always loved developing characters. That's just something I've done since I was quite young. So I love to create a character. Sometimes they come to you, and it's great, and you just get these great ideas about them, and then you start picturing what they're like. Just like
they sort of take on a life of their own. They do their own thing, and you kind of let them do it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like building the towns, right? I think we were talking one day, because part of it, and it's right at the beginning because it's at the school opening, that we looked at each other and we thought, well, what would be at the school? And then we spent about a week or so mapping out the school and what would be there and who would be there, and then new characters formed from that. And then you talk about the town and what would be in this town and who would run this store and who would work here and what would they offer and what would this area of town be like, and you end up with this mosaic of community. It's like you're a community planner all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really fun. I mean, it's so much fun. And thinking about, we also thought about, like, what would the people who worked in this shop be like, or we are currently working on our second book, so it's kind of exciting because we're developing some new characters and bringing back some of the old favorites, et cetera. So it's interesting.
It's fabulous. Yeah. Now, are you planning on keeping it going well beyond the 50s, or do you see it's just always staying in the late 50s?
I think what we're looking, we usually describe it as being late 50s, early 60s, and I think we probably have about 10 stories, Andrea?
Yeah, we've got a plan
probably go till, we're thinking probably the early 70s. We sort of have some
ideas
for that. So there is going to be some progression. Like, you'll see how the characters develop, and it's like other cozy series that you see some of the kids grow up, or some of the businesses changes, or relationships change. So we have, it took us time to plot all that out, where we see certain books that we have in mind and character development and the placement of that. So it's been quite the project.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Sounds like it. You already have a lot planned out. That's very cool.
It gets a little overwhelming sometimes, like knowing, and I'm sure you're finding this too, Amy, like what do you do now? Do you promote? Do you work on the new book? And then there's the rest of your life that goes on.
That's right. Yeah, it's a juggling act. Absolutely, it's a juggling act.
Other projects too that I work on, and I'm going back and forth between all these time periods, so that gets funny too. It's like, well, hold on, this isn't this time period, this is another time period.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the life of a writer, life, creative life, well, everybody's life lately. I mean, people have so many things going on, and I think you have to sort of fight for your time. And I always advise clients I work with as a writing teacher and creativity coach, you have to find time to do it. You have to force yourself to have that schedule instead. Try to adhere to it. You can be flexible a little bit sometimes. You know, every day is different sometimes because you can't help it.
Right.
But you have to kind of adhere to something or else you're never going to get it done.
Absolutely.
And you get a run on something too, right? If something's flowing well, you don't want to impede that. You want to keep it going, right? Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not going well, you still have to force yourself to do it. Otherwise, if you wait for the – a lot of people have this, like, fantasy about what writers do. Like, we just wait for the muse to hit.
Yeah.
Muse may not be hitting town for the next 10 years. You got to cajole it a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if it means having a glass of wine to cajole it.
That's right.
Yeah,
well, bring in Barbara Jean. She can handle it, right?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Put down the cocktail. Pick up the pen, for goodness sake, girl.
Yeah.
So how do you have a plan in terms of when the next one's going to come out? Do you know that yet? Or?
I don't. Can we? Do we know?
Do we know? We're it's coming along. it's going to be. I'm thinking later this year.
Yeah. I would hope by the fall, but we haven't really
defined
anything to that yet. But we'd like to see that by then.
For sure. Fall.
That's pretty good because the first one just came out in January, right?
Yes, it did.
So, you're moving at a nice clip.
Pardon me?
You're moving at a pretty fast clip. That's not bad at all.
Well, we hope so, yeah. So that's what we plan, and then we'll see what the gods allow.
That's right. What is your schedule like? The two of you sit down together for like 2 hours or 3 hours a day, or how does that go?
Well, we usually have 1 or 2 days a week that we can sit and spend the whole day. And then we usually try and do at least an hour, hour and a half. If we can eke out 2 hours a day, we can do that the rest of the time for about 3 days a week.
Yeah. Because we have other things that we are on the go with, of course.
Sure. Well, that's good, though. That's actually a good, reasonable schedule, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's and some days, as you know, too, and anyone else who's creative, some days go much better than others.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, or it's really funny when, like, the procedure a lot that we write is that we sit down with a section and say, what do we want to accomplish in this section? And so we'll put out the key elements, things like what sort of clues do we want with this part? What kind of other things do we want to talk about in here, the details? And then we'll flesh that out, and then we'll move on to another section and get a rough draft done. Once we get that done, we like to put it aside for a few days and then go through the whole thing with a fine-tooth comb. And it's really funny when you do that you start looking at it and we'll talk about, let's read to this section here, and we'll go, okay, and the sections that we think won't need much work are usually the ones that need the most work. And the ones that we think we're going to have to pick apart and are just terrible are the ones that just flow. And you just...
Yeah.
You just never
know.
You don't know until you sit down and you look at it and, you know, you think, oh, this will take us 20 minutes, and it took us 3 weeks to get through that section because we ended up adding a new character in, or it was totally irrelevant to what we were talking about at the beginning or the end. And I think even in the first one, the murder victim stayed the same, but who murdered her, I think, somewhere along the line, too. It's like,
Yeah. And then that's tricky because that happened to me also in my first book, and I was like, uh-oh, well, you got to make sure everything agrees. Clues will agree later.
Yeah, you got to go back over it and make sure that you're in agreement with it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Have you ever had, I know you sat, you're painting a very rosy picture of your collaboration, and I'm not trying to cause any trouble here or anything, but have you ever had any disagreement?
Really? Would you say?
I would say that we just have, sometimes we try and decide whose, say, idea might be better, if it sounds better. We're pretty cooperative, actually, I would say. Yeah.
You know, it's you look at it and you think, okay, well, maybe that won't work here, but that might work later or in a different book, so we'll write that down somewhere else. But, I think we both feel we've got a valid point in what we're writing and what we're saying. And, it usually works out pretty good. I can't remember when we've had any kind of big kerfuffle over it. It was sort of like, okay, well, this is my reason, and this is where I see it. And it would be, okay, well, maybe we should use this later on.
Yeah, we have some stuff we put aside to use at another time sometimes, too.
Yeah.
You obviously gel. You obviously gel really well. You work well together. You've known each other all these years, and it just works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we feel we certainly don't take that for granted because, you know, I mean, we feel really fortunate that it has done that. And, you know, friends first, and I think right from the beginning, I think it was even before the first day that we had even decided whether or not this was just something that we were walking and talking about or just a lark, we both said, okay, well, this is 50-50 right from the beginning and just went half. Not even going to look at any of that. And I think we even did a handshake deal and said, that's it. No matter what, this is 50-50.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, you obviously have a long run ahead, it sounds like. You have lots of ideas for this series. And you're off to a good start because Barbara Jean is funny, and I hope folks will check out the blog. Welcome to Poppy Cove. You can also find out about the books on the Cozy Cat Press website and Amazon. I know it's available ebook and paperback, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Barnes & Noble has the paperback. And then, of course, over time it'll go through other outlets as well, but those are the major ones at this point.
Very cool. I'm wishing you guys the best of luck. This was your first radio experience, I understand. How did you like it?
It's fun. Good.
You did great.
Do it again. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Absolutely. Well, we keep tabs on our guests. I mean, we don't want to say stalker. We don't want to be stalkers or anything, but we like to find out how people are doing, and certainly invite you back. Because it's not a drive by. We're not driving by in Barbara Jean's Edsel.
Oh, by the way, we love to fire up the Edsel.
Yeah, we like
firing
that one.
Firing up the Edsel. Yeah, right. And driving down the coast.
Yeah.
Going to see what kind of tunes we're going to get for her later too. I think.
Great.
We're going to try to anyway, if it works. Okay. Andrea Taylor, Heather?
Stratif.
Okay. I'll get it, baby. I'll get it. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Strangled by Self, Barbara Jean Coast is the pen name. You guys are fabulous. It's a very fun series. I wish you the best with it, and please come back and see us again, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.
Travel my way. Take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 6.
And the story continues to unfold on the Amy Bedard Dark Boy Show. 347-857-4505 is your ticket to the conversation.
More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Boston, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip when you make that California trip?
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after these brief words from our sponsors.
Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee, heavenly coffee, heavenly coffee. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. Better coffee a millionaire.
Once upon a time there was an engineer.
Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear.
He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings the bell. Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
I love a murder mystery upon the radio. I love it, I love it, I really love it so. The heroine is yelling while the sponsor goes on selling.
Don't touch me, you brute!
Use delirium for your tube.
Sam shovels in the hovel, he must grovel for a clue. I love it, I love it, I rally, rally do. Sherlock Holmes, the giver's own, the interrupted by the sponsor, UC Watson, when the villain, Tangless Joe, will do your drilling. I'm nervous when I turn the dial, I'm dizzy in the head. When it's time for in the stankum, I go underneath my bed.
Don't shoot me, Biggs the Stoolie, as they put him through the mill.
I'll shoot you, I'll shoot you. Seriously, I will. The girl he tries to take, and then we have a station break.
Come on, baby, come to me. Boing, boing, boing. This is Station COD.
He's not breathing. But how can he? He's dead. He's dead! Why isn't the job for Superman? Or Hopalong Cavity? Or Jack Headstrong, the All-American Boy? Or Jerry Lewis? But I don't scare easily, not me. I'm too frightened to be scared. I'll find the killer. I'll search the apartment. Aha! Just as I thought. Three shoes under the bed. Well, that's logical for a man with 3 feet.
But I have it now, Inspector. I can name the killer for you. His name is...
Stainless Joe will do your drilling. My flesh begins to creep and then my skin begins to crawl. You think I was a worm the way I wiggled down the hall. I love a murder mystery upon the radio. I love it, I love it, I really love it so. I love it when I'm listening late at night and a murderer is stalking a heroine. And a hero is stalking a murderer and a private eye is stalking a hero. And a cop's is stalking a private eye. And they're coming in closer and closer. Surely, but closer and surely. They're coming out of the radio. Now they're stalking me. What have I done? I was only listening to the radio. Now they're throwing toothpaste at me. They're coming closer and closer. And I don't know the conjunctive moves of anyone that may be based on the fact that other people say the same their facts. Where else are Crescendo? And certainly not the one in Rio. I'm not going to come over. Anyone else may say I'm wrong. And I feel that I must stay here now. No one else must know the facts. I wish I was dead.
The great Jerry Lewis, and I love a murder mystery on the Amy Beth Arkley Show here on BTR. Thanks again to Andrea and Heather, the gals breathing life into Barbara Jean Coast and Strangled by Silk, the first, and what sounds like it's going to be a long line of Poppy Cove Mysteries. Check them out. They're real fun at the Poppy Cove Mystery blog. Welcome to Poppy Cove Mystery blog, and also you can find them on Twitter at Barbara Jean Coast and at on Facebook. Because she's all over the place. I love it. So anyway, speaking of murder mysteries, hop over to my website, amybetharkowee.com, and you'll find out more about the second in the Eliza Gordon mystery series, Dead Silent, coming later this spring from Cozy Cat Press. I saw the cover art this week. It looks fab, so we're getting excited, doing the proofing. It'll be out soon, and I'll give you the details on the radio, of course, and at the website shortly. In the meantime, if you haven't read the first one, Killing Time, what are you waiting for? Get into it. Eliza, Midge, and the gang, and their comings and goings in the little sleepy hamlet, or is it so sleepy, of Good Ship New York. It's available now via Hen House Press as ebook and paperback. Details, everything you ever wanted to know and then some about me is at the website. It's also a great place to be in touch because if you click on the little contact icon and you have a story to tell me, I am always looking for intriguing authors and filmmakers, musicians, theater impresarios, social crusaders, journalists, we love it all. We love fact, fiction, fantasy. If it's told well, we'd love you to come on the show and talk about your process and your story. Also a great place to check in if you're having some creative problems. Get your creative groove back. We're doing our journaling challenge, so we'll talk about that. Great guest coming up in the coming weeks. Next week we have Andrew Cotto. He is a gritty writer. The latest book is Outer Borough Blues. We have other folks coming up later on as well. Bill Dean, investigative journalist. A veteran investigative journalist who has a new book out called Smooth Criminal. It is really a fascinating look at this little-known practice, but it's kind of why it's not, I don't know if it's completely widespread, but it's not uncommon, let's put it that way, of essentially letting hardcore criminals get out-of-jail-free cards by working as undercover FBI agents. Good idea or not so? We'll see. We'll talk to him. That's all coming up. Our audience keeps growing weekly thanks to some great guests. The folks at Blog Talk Radio and our hardier regulars who tag along for my myriad radio rides, not to mention the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML at headquarters, getting us going on, shall we say, interesting circumstances, keeping the show running each week. So we're happy to do that. So we'll talk a little bit about the cultural zeitgeist in a moment. Also, oh, the journaling challenge, yes, that is going on, where folks will, if you haven't written in a while and you want to get back into it, get yourself a notebook. Any notebook will do. I like those little composition ones with the crazy swirls on the cover. Just write 30 minutes in the morning or 30 minutes in the evening. See if it works for you. I think it will get your juices going. Commit to it for a month, because the first couple of days could be sketchy. But just try it. People have been checking in, and we have a couple of newcomers checked in this week. Dini out in San Diego, speaking of California, who said, I tried it. Stop and start at first, but now I'm getting going, and I think I have a story in me. I love it. And Doug up in Boston, who said, I thought you were nuts. Hey, separate issue, Doug, okay? But it does work. It is doing it. I did it on and off for a while. I got into it for 3 weeks solid, and it does work. And I think I'm going to start writing again. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm really gratified. Hey, by the way, I'll never talk about you or mention your name if you don't give me permission, so don't worry about that. But if you have any questions creative-wise, you know, your juices jumped. What is that? That sounds interesting. Hop over to the website. I'll do what I can within reason. I don't know, though. Journaling is at the heart of this. This is for your own purposes. You can throw your journal away when you're done. You don't have to worry about it. It's not for other people to see. But it's at the heart. A journal is at the heart of the testimony in that salacious Jodi Arias trial. Have you been following it? It is riveting, and it is going on forever. It's been going on since January. They have a lot of stops and starts. Essentially, this young woman killed her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend. The prosecution claims she was a lover scorned. She's claiming her defense, it was a battered woman self-defense defense. It was a brutal killing. I've got all the elements there. I'm sure Lifetime is working on the movie. I'm sure the movie will be made before this case is over, because it's going on forever. It officially became a spectacle yesterday when a juror who got booted off the case for, I guess, talking about the case, we're not sure what she did, but returned to the courtroom in the gallery as a spectator. Interesting. Weird and interesting. And we left with a cliffhanger. They don't have court on Friday, which is part of the reason why it goes on forever. It's out in Arizona. The prosecutor took on, this is a guy, a very fiery prosecutor, took on the defense expert on domestic violence over her infamous talk that she gives around the country called Was Snow White a Battered Woman? So we're left with a cliffhanger on that. So if you haven't gotten into it yet, there's still time. It'll go on for another few weeks. Hop aboard. HLN, the cable channel, is all over it. But your journal can be private. Just first of all, don't commit a murder so nobody will want to read it. And secondly, I'm not worried about it because I need a Rosetta Stone to read my own handwriting. So no problem there. But it is just fascinating. We'll talk a little bit about the cultural zeitgeist. And by the way, you can always listen to the shows on demand anytime. But if you're live with us on Friday and you want in on the conversation, I'd love to chat with you at 347-857-4505. There's a little time left to get into. And I just thought, you know, it would be fun on a Friday to kind of think about what Barbara Jean might be listening to as she cruises around town in her Edsel. I don't think it's Pat Boone, do you?
You ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
Don't talk.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's be acting up out with that room. Oh, you don't go to a Friday night. Hackety yak.
Don't talk.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundry mat. And when you finish doing that,
don't talk.
Around my neck, leave me anywhere. Let me be.
Oh, let him be.
Oh, let him baby. I don't wanna be a tiger, 'cause tiger's way too rough. I don't wanna be a lion, 'cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. But as a woman who be, you'll tell me why. Put a chain around my neck and leave me anywhere. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let him be.
Baby, let me be around you every night. Run your fingers through my hair and cuddle me real tight. Let me be.
Oh, let him be.
Your daddy bear. I don't wanna be your tiger, 'cause tigers play too rough. I don't wanna be a lion, 'cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. 'Cause I wanna be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and leave me anywhere. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let him be.
Oh, teddy bear. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let him be your teddy bear.
I know a dark, secluded place, a place where no one knows your face. A glass of wine, a fast embrace, it's called Fernando's Hideaway. Ole! All you see are silhouettes, and all you hear are castanets, and no one cares how late it gets. Not at Fernando's Hideaway, ole. At the Golden Finger Bowl or any place you go. You will meet your Uncle Max and everyone you know. But if you go to the spot that I am thinking of, you will be free to gaze at me and talk of love. Just knock three times and whisper low that you and I were sent by Joe. Then strike a match and you will know you're in Fernando's Hideaway. Ole!
Kind of interesting, kind of fun to see. A little problem there with the microphone, sorry. Anyway, it is interesting way, an interesting thing to kind of look at and see. So, check it out, see if it works for you. The one that doesn't work for me, I think, is Top of the Lake, that Jane Campion miniseries, which is on Sundance Channel. Actually, last week was interesting. It's a little slow going. And I found Elizabeth Moss, who I really like, as Peggy Olson on Mad Men. Not so great the first couple of weeks because her New Zealand accent went in and out, but she is did a really riveting job last week, I have to say. The show's a little slow to me, but it's interesting. Mad Men, by the way, coming back on Sunday, 2-hour premiere, so I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. I don't know what we're going to do when that show's over. And I understand, I hate to say this, because I know there are some fans, folks I know, who listen to my show, who also watch Smash, NBC's show about Broadway. Looks like it's on the chopping block. First, there were rumors about it, then they said they were going to save it because it is popular with some folks, and Steven Spielberg is one of the producers. Very expensive show to make, and apparently the ratings are just not there. And their first step to the axe is when they move you over to that Saturday Night Ghetto, because they think only old people watch TV on Saturday and old people don't count. I don't know. I guess I've been an old people for a long time because I sometimes watch TV on Saturday. You can watch it on demand too, but really that's the first step for the axe. So I'm sorry to see that happen. Liza, though, Liza Minnelli is going to be on this week, so that sounds like fun. Speaking of legends, I do have to say before we go, so sorry to note the passing of a couple of legends. Phil Ramone, the legendary music producer and engineer, notably associated with Billy Joel and Tony Bennett's duets and various soundtracks, really an innovator, passed away this week. And Roger Ebert succumbed to his long battle with cancer yesterday. The great film critic started his career, his one film credit, as the screenwriter for the now cult classic Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. He'd passed away. Helped America really and the world look at movies in a new way with his late lamented friend Gene Siskel about the movies and, of course, his various columns. Also interesting, he was one of the most outspoken, quote-unquote, legit journalists who really liked the Internet and liked the idea of giving people a chance to have their say. You know, people journalists, he thought blogs were great. So he was really a very interesting guy and a kind guy and certainly helped us watch movies in a great way. So we are sorry to see those two legends go, but they left behind their legacy of work. Indeed they did. Hey, I hope you have yourself a great week. Wherever you go, whatever you do this week, please do drive safe, play nice, and dream big. We'll talk next time on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show here on BTR.